golfj.com.
All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Golf J podcast on golfj.com. Jim Sinacropi alongside Rhett Ticone, Doug Brown, triple boxed here inside the Finger Lakes 1.tv studios in Seneca Falls.
Special stuff tonight.
On May 16th, 2016. Tonight, we're going to be talking about Jason Day's win at the Players Championship, turning the big three into possibly the big one. Other notable performances and happenings at the TPC Sawgrass this weekend. Tiger Woods made an appearance Monday morning at Congressional and had some real interesting quotes. Talk about that a little later. All that, our weekly trivia question, and a whole lot more on tap for the next hour. So the Players, not quite a major, but man, it's felt a lot bigger than most other tournaments when watching this week.
Two different tournaments in 2 days and 2 days, that's right. For sure.
Yeah, and that different course conditions.
Yeah, no doubt.
Significantly different between Thursday and Friday to the weekend.
Course or more, yeah. More the greens than anything, really.
Yeah, it was all greens.
Yeah.
So I was, a little disappointed in the fact that if you watch the tournament on Thursday, you're thinking, and into Friday, you're thinking this could be an incredible leaderboard with so many the top guys in contention. But right. As it ended up, you end up going into Sunday with Hideki Matsuyama, Jason Day, and then Ken Duke. You know, we're really the focus of Sunday's coverage.
Right.
But
well, Kevin Chappell got some time.
Yeah, Chappell came on strong. Again, though,
not a big name.
We saw a little bit of Matt Kuchar and Justin Thomas. But, you know, we're hoping to see McIlroy face off with Day, or at least be within reach. And it started out on the front nine like looked like we might get there.
Right.
Yeah.
Pull a little Rick. Everybody kept talking about Ricky Fowler as people were four or five shots off a Day coming to that stretch on the back. They said, remember, Ricky Fowler went 600 on the last six, but nobody else did this year.
Yeah, not with those greens. Nobody was doing that. Those greens didn't look like that last year when Ricky did that. He birdied 17 three times.
Yes, he did.
Between the last holes in the playoffs, so he wasn't around to worry about that this week, and nobody else was really going to catch Jason Day anyways.
So world number one Jason Day handles the strongest field in golf on one of the game's most challenging layouts, winning his 10th tour event by a solid four strokes. The wire warrior victory was the first of the Players since Hale Sutton did it in 2001 when he asked it to be the right club today.
Today.
One of my favorite. There's been a couple great golf calls at Sawgrass. There was a be the right club today, and there was better than most.
Yeah, better Tiger's than most. Putt.
Which I like to use a lot.
That gets more coverage than be the right club today.
I think so. Yeah. Although, I like to use them both. I like to say be the right club today, and I like when somebody makes a putt. You know, in a regular group, I like to say, you know, better than most.
Well, Hal took down Tiger that when he hit that shot that day. That was he was knocking Tiger off that one.
Yeah, and I remember pulling hard for Hale Sutton. I went anybody but Tiger to win because you know.
I thought you were a Tiger fan, though.
So, no, I was never a Tiger fan.
Kidding.
So the win was Day's seventh in his last 17 starts, dating back to the Canadian last summer, the RBC Canadian. And really, that stretch can be compared to the kind of winning percentage Tiger Woods put up in his prime. Day in that stretch is winning at 41%.
Right.
Four of every 10 tournaments he enters, he wins.
He's on a roll.
So... And real quickly, too, if you look back to a year, what a difference a year can make in the world of golf. At the 2015 Players, Jason Day missed the cut. And at that point, he was hovering around top 10, 10, 11, 12, and had just three PGA Tour wins. And now 1 year later, he's got 10 wins, including a major and a Players. And is technically, according to the rules of the Golf Hall of Fame, he could get inducted when he turns 50 and what he's done so far.
Right.
So
and don't forget he was would he end up third at the U.S. Open,
and then one putt away from a playoff at St. Andrews.
So, I mean, not to mention the wins are big. He had some big wins, obviously, but he's been so far up the ladder this last year. Right. It's just phenomenal
performance.
Yeah,
I mean, so about a year ago now, we were starting to anoint Jordan Spieth, as the second coming, third coming of Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, and Jordan Spieth, right? Now we're not talking about Jordan. The last 12 months has been basically all Jason Day.
Which
he's actually got a better run than Jordan Spieth had.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's going right now. The only thing it's lacking is, like, the back-to-back majors.
Yeah.
And really, Jordan Spieth made a nice statement at the end of the year in the FedEx Cup playoffs last year. The Tour Championship, right? Is that the one? Yeah. That's the one he won, the last
one. Won the FedEx Cup.
But since then, and Jordan Spieth was really cruising to a Masters championship.
Yes, he was.
It kind of overlapped, and then since the end of the year last year, and then into this year, it's been Jason Day. You know,
well, Jordan rallied at the end of 15.
Yeah,
because Day got hot midsummer, late summer,
right?
And then Jordan had a good finish and a good start to the 16 season,
15-16
season, because he won in Hawaii, right? And you're absolutely right. The Masters was in sight, at least in sight.
And Day made a push in between there with the WGC title, and he won back-to-back tournaments.
Yeah.
But, you know, so the question is, there's no more big three, right? It's just Jason Day and everybody else.
Right now.
Is that right or no?
Right now, I say Jason Day is head and shoulders above the rest of the field.
Any of those guys can win at any time, but at the same time, they're... He's just head and shoulders above everybody now
last
around
week,
the world.
Jim Sinicropi's pick was whatever term of Jason Day's in, I'm going to pick him.
That's right.
I think that's a fair thing to do right now because 41% of the time you're going to win. Apparently.
Back in the Tigers days in the early 2000s, I used to have a bet with a buddy of mine. Every term a Tiger was in, I'd take him and he'd take the field. And I ended up actually for a couple of years, one more time than
money.
He made money on the majors. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So, Jason Day's a good pick, Jim.
He's got the whole game.
Yeah, that's a thing.
The driver, the wedges, the putting, the 2-iron now that he's got going 250.
Yeah, where'd that come from all of a sudden?
Because he hates his 3-wood, apparently. That came out this week.
But he still, when he hit it, he was fine.
He did.
Yeah.
I just don't really see where there's a weakness. I still get concerned about his health.
Got the mental game.
But
His health issues, though... The vertigo seems to be solved,
it's
his back, you know, that you're worried about, which seems to be fine.
It has been since...
the second round of Masters.
What was that? The match play tournament, though,
He was really bad then, and he still won.
But he won the tournament. That one day, he probably, had ever gone sudden death or longer, he probably would have been in trouble.
And he was having problems second round at the Masters. I remember seeing him stretching in the middle of fairways and what have you. So he I think that was a little carryover there, and he really didn't do great at the Masters. Kind of a down week for him. But
you mentioned no weakness. He was averaging 311 yards off the tee. He had a scrambling percentage of 85%. And from putts outside of 10 feet, he was at 31%. I mean, so there is no weakness tee to green. And even when he did struggle at 9 when he flubbed those chips, you were like, oh, you know, here we go, a little chink in the armor maybe. Yep. But he stands up and makes a huge bogey putt and then doesn't make another bogey the rest of the day.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, he made that bogey putt like it was a birdie.
Came back with a birdie on 10 and birdie on 12, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So Spieth missed the cut. Ricky Fowler misses the cut. And Jason Day just kind of puts a wrap on the definitive number one player in the world at the moment. And if Jordan Spieth won 2 times on this mini Texas swing before we get to the Memorial, he still wouldn't be number one. Day would be.
Yeah. So Day talked about it too, you know, increasing his points lead on the number one. It means a lot to him. I mean, I'm sure it means a lot to all of them, but you know, he focuses on it. He talks about it. It means a lot to him to have gotten to that point.
Right.
It was one of his goals. We talked last year, you know, when he had said something about it after he got to it the first time. And he lost it quickly, but now he's got to hold on to that. I don't know if he's going to let go for a while.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Unless somebody makes a big run,
well, he'd
probably hold it the rest of the year just with a reasonable play.
If you also assume that he will win one of the remaining majors, I would think that he'll win one of the three, given the fact that he didn't play great at Sawgrass and won easily by 4 shots.
And that's the type of place Oakmont's going to be, you know, with those greens. You know, the greens will be in better shape, but they're going to be just as fast, if not faster. Those greens are the scariest things you'll ever see. Mm-hmm. I mean, they run those things 15, 16 as normal members play.
The members say they slow them down for the U.S. Open.
Right, exactly. Wow. It's just crazy there. So he's the type of guy that can win that one by just tee to green and, you know, being cautious around the greens and making his putts. So I'd go with Jim's play on that one and pick him again in a few weeks.
Well, how about this? How about Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler and company are all off on spring break having a great old time. Jason Day's home with his newborn daughter, his son, probably working on his game
right.
as a regular. You think that Jordan Spieth might be loosening up a little bit with the partying, and same with Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, I think, well, they're definitely in two different places in their lives, you know, with the one with the family and one, you know, just coming on 22
years
old.
Day is older. Day's older than them.
And
so if Jason Day was a single guy without the wife and the kids, he probably would have been in the Bahamas with those guys.
Yeah, right.
Or somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And he had quite
tough
a...
Tough to compare.
When he was younger, you know, he had some wild times. And so, you know, he's...
Well, when he was their age, he didn't even... You know, he wasn't a top player
right.
at all.
Right.
He kind of rose up the rankings over the past
he's paid his
45 years.
More like Adam Scott kind of did, you know. Adam Scott won early, and Jason Day won a few tournaments early. But, you know, it's taken a while, and now he's on the scene for sure.
I thought for Jordan Spieth that vacation was perfect to get, well, basically out of the country, right? He went to the Bahamas, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was perfect. Postmasters, leave the clubs home, go somewhere else. Well, they took their clubs, though, didn't they?
Well, yeah, but it wasn't
they
serious.
Around.
They didn't have shoes or shirts on.
Right. I thought it was perfect for him to do that.
Apparently, I had one club, too.
You know, if he went on just some simple vacation, it might have been not as much of a getaway, right?
Well, so I think given the type of player Jordan Spieth has shown to be, that he's going to be prepped and ready to go at Oakmont. And, you know, maybe that'll be the event where we see a top five player in the world showdown hit a major title.
Right.
For a major title.
I think these guys that we're only talking about the big one, I think the rest of those used to be big 2, 3, 4 guys are going to start reprioritizing their schedules a little bit.
Yep,
certainly.
To focus on trying to move up that list before they get too far down.
It's a quick summer, you know, for all these tournaments. They come one right after another. Once we get past the Memorial, it's all the big tournaments.
Well, the overall tour is half over now, right?
Yeah.
Give or take?
Pretty much, yeah.
Because it ends.
Ends in September, early September.
Yeah. So
mid-September.
Well, Jason Day, big TaylorMade guy. Interesting, because last week we talked about TaylorMade being for sale. Well, he plays a TaylorMade M1 460 driver, 10.5 degrees, 3-wood TaylorMade M2 at 17 degrees, says it's his least favorite club. Irons are TaylorMade RSIs. He's got a 2-iron. He's also got 4 through pitch and wedge. His wedges are TaylorMade Tour Preferred. He at 47 degrees, 52, and 58. I thought a lot of guys on tour not carrying a 60, or I thought it was odd that he didn't have, you know, a 60 degree wedge. He capped it off at 58.
Yeah, but he'll just lay that thing open.
Yeah,
yeah, he knows what he's doing. I think he's got it figured out.
Yeah.
Also, a TaylorMade Spider Limited Red putter.
Very cool.
Yeah.
The red was a little different, right? They kind of muted it. I think it was he asked them to tone the color down a little bit. Because it was bothering the brightness or the shininess coming
more
off.
More of a maroon.
Yeah, so it kind of matte finished it. Mm-hmm. It'll be selling a ton of those.
That's right.
Pretty soon.
And he plays the TaylorMade Tour Preferred X golf ball. So, you know, heads up to Titleist and company. You know, the best player in the world's TaylorMade guy, head to toe.
Yeah.
But you got to wonder with that pending sale of TaylorMade, I'm not sure how fast that could happen. But is there somebody like Titleist out there already talking to his agent?
Sure.
Or Nike or somebody, because... What if TaylorMade gets bought up and becomes a smaller company than it is today? And who knows what it's going to be like 5 years from now? It might be off the map.
Yeah, and what happens if Jason Day does have to make an equipment change because of it to something different? That's not easy to do for anybody.
When they have he and Dustin Johnson are two pretty big guys, and they're stable, and Sergio's still there.
Yes.
And so you think if they downsize a little bit, you got to think that Jason Day is going to be their priority, and those other guys might find new contracts.
There's a lot of TaylorMade logos and hats and bags.
Justin Rose is another one. They have they have a decent amount of guys.
They sure do.
For sure. I mean, I know Nike does as well, and then Titleist kind of a little more subtle with it. But, you know, they're well out there on the tour.
Sure.
They definitely have some people out there.
So what do you guys think about the condition Saturday? The greens were double rolled and double cut, and they got up to 16, maybe 17 on the stimp meter, and it was just a massacre on the greens.
I think Saturday was an outcome of Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, I think the commissioner was...
It was at a 30-under par pace.
Yeah, he's like, not on my watch. This is my last players' tournament. I'm not letting them. Double cut them.
Yeah,
you
know. So that's my opinion of that. And they probably had all along they were going to toughen it up a little bit.
Yeah.
They probably did get out of hand.
I don't think they wanted it to be that bad.
I don't think so either.
I mean, there was 122 combined three putts among the 144 players in the field for the first 2 days, okay? And then on Saturday alone, there was 149 three putts among the 76 players who remained. Right. So, I mean, that is a huge. And then there was a five putt by Sergio that was really a six putt. He got lucky it was on the fringe with the first putt, but that was a legitimate six putt. Statistical five putt, but eyeball test six putt.
What was the year? Was it the 06 Open at Shinnecock? That they had the green, they lost the greens. A couple of them were severely burnt out, and they, you know, just nothing you can do once
to
you get
keep
them
it
back
on the green.
Yeah,
I mean, last year at Chambers Bay.
Yeah,
true. Those greens
all 18
all died.
At Chambers Bay. not just one at Shinnecock.
That's true. Yeah,
they did get kind of. You can see the green tint was going away from those greens.
Right.
Because that event went on Saturday.
Yeah. Thursday looked beautiful. Friday, because they got the little rain Thursday. And then all of a sudden, Saturday, like, what are we looking at? We're two different courses. But, I mean, what do you guys think, though? Are those guys kind of, you know, they complain a lot about that. And you know, do you guys think that they should say much about it? Or they just play with the course plays that day? I mean, they're all playing the same course. It's not like on the greens, at least, you know, somebody's going out, especially after, you know, Saturday, Sunday, when you make the cut. It's not like they're all going out. One's going out at 8 a.m. and another's going out at 3, and there's a drastic difference. They're all playing the same greens. I mean, do you guys agree with how much they complain about those things sometimes?
I mean, I'll take, like, let's talk about Sergio for a minute. He's just an example of a spoiled golfer when you get down to it, or any athlete for that matter.
Right.
They play the best conditions all the time. I'd like to have him come play with us when the greens are 7 or 8. Okay, they couldn't play. They'd walk off the golf course. Mm-hmm. He did the same thing at Bethpage when the rainstorm hit and – Well, so what? You got caught in a rainstorm. The other guys did. Nothing you can do about it.
Right.
You're right. The greens were made for everybody. They all play the same golf course. It is what it is.
I mean,
how come Ken Duke, who's rated 200th in the world, shot 65?
Right. 10 shots better
Sergio
than the
Garcia,
average.
Who's in the top 10 or 15, shot 77 and blasted out all the conditions. I have a tough time with that.
Well, let's talk about Ken Duke, because they're calling it the round of the year on the PGA Tour. And the scoring average that day on Saturday was 75 point something, okay? And he shot 65, so he beat the average by 10. Yeah. And it's one thing to look up at the scoreboard and say, oh, Jason Day is having a great round in this impossible conditions, but Ken Duke, you know, 47-year-old Ken Duke with a steel rod in his spine.
Yes.
Right.
I thought that was just, you know, I thought it was a great story, somebody you can certainly root for, but it's also just amazing because there's not a lot. Like, we saw Bernard Langer do it at the Masters contend, but there's not a lot of guys like Ken Duke even in the field, you know. He's just that a guy of his age and physique, I suppose, could still contend at that high level on a course like Sawgrass against Jason Day and all these other guys. It's amazing to me.
It's the epitome of being in the zone, you know. I mean, it does exist. Some days are just your day, and you see that a lot in the majors too. Like the guys in the morning on Sunday who are out of it, somebody goes out there and throws out a 6-7 under for the round of the day in tough conditions. It was. It was an amazing round. I mean, the way those greens were, you know, for anybody to do that. And hats off to him, for sure.
He backed it up with an even par round on Sunday and tied for third, finish.
Great finish.
So, good for Ken Duke.
Not a bad check for him.
No, and I was also happy to see Justin Thomas play well.
He did play well.
Who, 65 on Sunday, low round of the day. He moves up 20 spots to tied for third. And I just feel a little bit bad for old Justin Thomas. He's got one win at the CIMB in the fall, back in November. But, he's hanging around with all these other guys. And, and he was supposed to be, if you go back probably 5 years ago when they were coming off the junior circuit and in college, he was supposed to be maybe better than any of these guys. And they've just kind of, even Smiley Kaufman has arguably had a better career.
Both of them are playing, Thomas is playing better than, and the other two, for sure, all three of those guys, the four amigos that went to the Bahamas, he's been playing the best lately.
So, good to see Justin Thomas. Kevin Chappell, let's talk about him. He earned $1.13 million for second place. Not bad. And the final round, 69. Is this a guy? I know you're a fan, Doug. Is he a guy
that... I think
that,
if you replay about a month ago, I said, you heard it right here.
Right.
He's going to be a player to be reckoned with. So, and he's got 2 second-place finishes this year, ironically, both to Jason Day, Bay Hill, and this past weekend.
Right.
I just look at his game. He's got a nice little compact swing. I think he hits the ball. I think he's a good solid ball striker. And then his putting may be just a little bit off. Maybe he's not as good as maybe like a Jordan Spieth. But he gets going, and I think he's getting more confidence. All of a sudden, you see him in the final 2 or 3 groups a lot more on the weekends now.
Yeah, and
he's going to win an event and then win 5 events.
Okay, you heard it here first.
Yeah.
1 event, then 5.
So, you got to win the next 4, but
put it down.
But you're gonna see him win.
Hideki Matsuyama.
I had him last week in my fantasy.
Did you?
One to watch.
Now, did you happen to watch during the coverage when they showed in real time Matsuyama swing and Day swing?
Yes.
Matsuyama with a really slow back swing holds it at the top. Well, they played them both in real time, and they stopped it when Day was making contact, and Matsuyama was still up top. He hadn't even started his downswing, and Jason Day's ball was down the fairway. Right. Amazing.
Remarkable. That is remarkable.
And it goes to show you in this game how many different ways you can do it, but I couldn't believe that. I thought that was one of the neatest things NBC did, and NBC did a great job with the coverage.
I think Matsuyama's quite a player.
No
doubt.
He
needs to speed up.
Yeah.
not a swing. I don't care about a swing, but he takes an hour and a half to watch 60 minutes, and that's just not acceptable. So
the line of the show right there.
And he's put himself in position many times, and he hasn't come through. And he's got more pressure, I think, on him than the average player, too, because the whole nation of Japan is really behind him. And I guess you used to see it with Jumbo Ozaki, where – the Japanese media would send over like 6-7 different cameramen, follow them around wherever they go all week. I mean, they're like superstars over there.
Right.
So he obviously wants to win for his country. I don't think anybody was beating Jason Day anyways. No. But good old Colt Knost, Texas boy, had a strong showing in third place. His 7th top 10 in 161 PGA Tour starts. So he's a guy I think you can get behind too.
Absolutely.
Not cut out of the same mold as some of the more trimmed and athletic players.
More of the Walrus, Craig Stadler mold.
Yeah.
But
a fun guy. Fun guy, too, to seem to be enjoying every minute of it. So
absolutely.
Doubt that'll be the last we'll see a Colt. No, sometimes something like that will just give you enough confidence to push you forward. So, and it was good to see old Matt Kuchar back. Nobody really believes he's ever going to win these things, but he was there so you could see like a dozen of his shots on Sunday, and he finished tied for third. His biggest check of the year. But been more than 2 years now since Matt Kuchar's won on tour.
Wow.
And
that's hard to believe.
So
makes a lot of cuts, though.
And finally, before we move off of the players a little bit here, got to mention the 2015 Rookie of the Year, Daniel Berger. He's having an impressive sophomore campaign quietly. 6 consecutive top 20s in stroke play events. Berger and Matsuyama are the only players to post top 10s at both the Masters and the Players. So Daniel Berger wins the Rookie of the Year, is quietly just, backing it up, and did it again this week. So that, I guess, brings me to our next topic, which is the heck is up with McIlroy and Fowler's pants, especially McIlroy. It looks okay on Ricky, but let me see if I can pull this up here.
Picture. I just have to say why. I mean, Ricky's wearing those high tops. So, with Puma, I see that they want to showcase those. But like Rory right there, he's got the Air Max sneakers with golf spikes on them.
Exposed skin around the ankles.
Exposed skin, and then he's got the joggers going. I mean, those are either rain pants, jogging pants.
They're called them joggers on the
I just don't know what the point is.
So let's just look at the results. Rory shoots 10 under par with normal pants on Friday and Sunday. He shoots 3 over par, I think it was silver par, with those types of pants on Thursday and Saturday. So obviously you can't play with your ankles restricted like that.
Right.
Okay.
Gotta
so let the data speak.
Especially
they
in that heat.
Nike, they got to go.
Yeah, definitely. And Nike does a good job with all their stuff. But his no-collar collars and his joggers this year, they went a whole different direction with their golf attire this year.
Well, I think the collar at least gets your attention in a positive way. This is like, what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It looks silly, and it's all fashion trends seem to come around, and I can remember in the 1980s rolling the bottoms of my jeans up.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's the same type of look, which looking back on it now, it seems ridiculous. And the fact that we think that they look ridiculous just shows how out of touch we probably are with the youth of America.
Well, yeah, people, 22-year-olds playing golf are probably going to jump in on
it. Who's the fashion guy in the Golf Channel?
I can't remember his name, but I know who you're talking about.
Got the glasses, and he wears a lot of pinks and greens and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Even he said they're terrible.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Okay. He's a fashion guy.
Rosefort.
No, there's a guy that goes to the PGA Tour show.
Golf Digest, Marty Hackle.
That's the guy, Hackle. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, if he says they're awful. And he's very stylish.
Yeah.
And he knows the trends of everything. So
that's enough for me.
And I say we all say it. Get them out of here.
I don't think you'll see them in the pro shop anytime soon for sale.
No, I don't think so.
Well, then it's unanimous.
Get rid of them. Nike. Yeah. Who do we need to talk to? We just tell their marketing department. Next.
We're going to get a call from Eugene, Oregon tomorrow, are we?
That's right. Who knows? We might be able to get some consulting gigs out of this.
So I got the Golf J trivia question of the week here. Tweet your answer to @TheGolfJ. First person to tweet us the answer will win a Golf J hat. And this week's question, as we head to Texas for the AT&T Byron Nelson Championship, is how many major championships has Byron Nelson won? How many major championships has Byron Nelson won? We'll have the answer at the end of the show. So, let's see what's next here. Oh, let's just talk a little general golf. I want to know what you guys feel is the mark of a great putter. And great putter's relative. Jordan Spieth's a great putter. Jason Day's a great putter. Ben Crenshaw is the best great putter. But also, you know, just day-to-day with the guys you play with, there's certain guys that you're like, oh, he's a great putter, you know. That guy's a great putter. What makes a great putter?
You sure you want to ask the two of us?
Well in your estimation.
You got to use the word clutch a little bit. I guess you make that clutch putt. And if you don't do anything with the putter to hurt yourself.
Right.
You don't three putt.
Yeah. If you're around the hole.
You know, I think about Stu Miller and I think about great putters from my experience of playing golf with Seneca Falls, and he's obviously not on television playing golf, but he never seemed to three putt in my recollection. He never hit like a 30-foot putt 10 foot too hard. It was always in a reasonable circle.
And then
made that putt as well.
All great putters make the putts inside 3-4 feet.
Right.
Yep. And miss a green, chip to 10 feet, make it. Okay. And there's a guy that putting was more than half of his game. Because he really only hit the ball about 200 yards when he was young. That's just my comparison or my thought process.
Three putt avoidance.
Yeah.
Is a mark of a great putter.
No doubt. Yeah. Two putts. Get it close and, you know, not too far past. Always close enough to where if any one you hit right, you can get it to go in no matter what. And just willing the putts in too sometimes. You know, they just making ones that, you know, Jack would do that and all the great ones, like you said, Crenshaw, Tiger, obviously did that a lot.
And going back to Stu Miller, you know, we talk about match play, you always expect your opponent to make the putt. Stu Miller was one of those guys in my mind that I expected him to make the putt.
And you believed it. You weren't just giving yourself lip service.
By the look. Right. Okay. So I would turn and walk away, basically. But to me, that's a great putter. There's no mystery to what's going to happen when he hits it.
Yeah, I think the one... figure all great putters have a great stroke in their own way.
Right.
Some great putters have had short, quick putts. Some have had long, flowing putts. But I think another thing that all great putters have in common is resiliency and short-term memory.
Yes.
Because even the best, and I think this is where the tip comes in, the golf tip comes in for your average golfer who, you know, everybody's too hard on themselves on the greens, I think. So you make a couple 12-foot putts during a round of golf. That's a good putting day, you know. But you get hard on yourself when you miss 3 or 4 15-foot putts in a row out there. And you're just like, oh, I suck. I can't putt. And you start tinkering. You got to believe you're a great putter, even when you've had back-to-back three putts and haven't made a putt all day. When you get to 18, you got to still believe in yourself that you're a great putter if you expect to make the putt for the match or for whatever it's worth. But so I think, you know, resiliency from the mental side is the most important thing.
You also don't want to give yourself a worse position than you had on the putt before. You don't want to put yourself either in a situation where, you know, you got a 15 footer and the next putt's a 10 footer, or it's you put it 8 feet past. I mean, if you leave it short, you don't want to leave it too short or too long. You just want to, like you said, Jim, keep it in that circle, and that be kind of tight.
Like Sergio, who knocked it by about 6-7 feet, then knocked it by about 6-7 feet, repeat until he had a quadruple bogey.
He made everybody forget about Ernie Els really
quick. Sure did. You mentioned the 15-footers, Jim, and you beat yourself up, or we all beat ourselves up. I think if you look at the telecast over the weekend, a lot of times they put the make percentage up on the screen.
Right.
Somebody had like 17 feet, 4 inches, whatever, and the make percentage for those guys might be 10%.
Yeah.
Because they're not that good from 15 feet out.
Sure, nobody is.
They're pretty darn good from 15 feet in.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're tremendous from 5 feet in.
Yeah, and I think that's the main thing that separates the scratch golfer from the tour golfer, let's say, from a really good player to a tour quality player, is less ball striking and more putting inside 15 feet.
And 15, right. Yeah. I think if you looked at a pretty good amateur to a professional at 20 feet, not much difference as far as makes go. Probably far less three putts.
Right.
Right.
Okay. But you're upset, then they forget about it. Whatever it was, they forget about it.
So.
Well, I certainly obsess about putting.
Well, I've lost some sleep over the years.
Well, you know who was a great putter? Byron Nelson. He was such a great putter that they named a tournament after him. And that tournament is this weekend. It's the AT&T Byron Nelson Classic at TPC Four Seasons Resort, Irving, Texas. Last year it was Stephen Bowditch who won it, and poor Stephen Bowditch has missed the cut or finished last, sometimes both, in his last 7 starts.
Yes, he's having a tough year.
So you're telling us you're not going to take him?
Well, he could be a sleeper.
Would be a better pick.
He got married at this course, I believe, right? Yeah. Remember last year when he won it? He said he got married. Yeah. So maybe this might be something that'll turn it around for him. His last top 10 was at the Hyundai Tournament of Champions in January, which wasn't even a full field event.
Right.
Missed his last 4 cuts. So don't know if we'll begin a repeat from Stephen Bowditch. Also winners here, 2014, Brendan Todd, 2013, Sangmoon Bae, now currently serving with the South Korean military, 2012, Jason Duffner. Be on television Thursday and Friday, 4 through 7 p.m. Eastern on the Golf Channel, Saturday and Sunday, 1 to 2:30 p.m. on the Golf Channel, and then CBS has the coverage, 3 to 6. Good field, 7 of the top 20 players in the world, including Dallas native and world number 2, Jordan Spieth, will lead the field. And 156 players will vie for $7.3 million purse, $1,314,000 first place check, and 500 FedEx points. And we got some, like I said, 7 of the top 20 players. So in addition to Spieth, we got Dustin Johnson, the 8th ranked player, Louis Oosthuizen, 13th, Sergio Garcia, ranked 15th, Brent Snedeker at 16, Zach Johnson, 18, and Brooks Koepka at 20, also in the field, Matt Kuchar, Harris English, Bryson DeChambeau on a sponsor's exemption, and Jimmy Walker, Ernie Els. So I guess the question here is, do you think that Jordan Spieth is going to win this tournament? I mean, it seems like the tournament Jordan Spieth would win, right?
It's in his backyard.
Yeah, and he kind of needs one.
I'm having a tough time saying he's going
to
win.
He's on a slide right now. He's got to do something to come out of that. I'd just like to see him have a good tournament, make a cut.
I think for golf's sake and his sake and all that, I hope he does win.
Right, right.
And get some talk going again, but I don't know if I can pick him.
So make your picks, fellas. I was 1-for-1 last week. Of course, I picked the world number 1, so I had a good chance. But
you're smart to do that, though. We didn't do this.
We picked first, too. So we don't like to double them up. But you can. There's no rule we can't double them up.
If the tournament was only on Friday, Doug would have won with Rory. You picked Rory, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, but he didn't have a lead.
No, but I'm just saying.
Oh, just one round.
His round, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to go with Brooks Koepka.
That's a good pick.
Yeah, I like where he's at. I know he had a couple of tough holes this past weekend, but he was playing pretty good. He got derailed a little bit, but I'm going to go with him. I like where he's at, and he's going to be my pick this week.
Okay. Brown, who you got?
So I don't know if he's playing or not, but I'm going to go with Kevin Chappell.
I can tell you if he's playing right now, and that wouldn't be a good pick. He's got zero chance of playing here.
And I'm going to take my other second best choice. I'm going to go with Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, I can't.
He's going to do better than Chappell.
Yes. No, if Chappell's not on your list, then it's okay.
Yeah, I got the field up right here. I'll scroll it through for everybody at home. It's a pretty strong field, like I mentioned, with the top seven of the top 20 in the world teeing it up. Billy Mayfair is in there.
I thought about him.
Yeah. How about Jerry Kelly's season? He's playing pretty good.
He's quite a guy, isn't he?
Yeah, no doubt.
He's fun to watch, too.
Yeah, he's definitely a little renaissance for him. But all right, Jim, your turn.
All right.
He's scouring the whole field.
Yeah, he hasn't. I know he has his pick. I know
I'm going with Doug. I'm taking Jordan Spieth. That's who I play. Okay. I really think, back home in Texas and just needing to bounce back. He's that type of guy. He missed the cut at the first FedEx Cup tournament last year and then ended up winning the Tour Championship. Yeah. So I think he can bounce back quick. I think he needs to. I think he's shaken up a little bit by missing the cut while Jason Day just rolled. And they played together, I believe, right? I'm pretty sure they played together.
Yes.
So
yeah.
It's got to be unnerving. And I think that the spring breaks over and Jordan Spieth's going to be hitting it hard. And his home course or his home state and his home greens. And I think Spieth's a good pick. So two against one.
We'll see what happens.
And that gets underway Thursday. So great tournament after great tournament coming up here for the rest of the year, right through October, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you guys heard Rory's comments on the U.S. Open at Oakmont, but Brian Wecker wrote a piece for GolfDigest.com on the state of Rory McIlroy after the Players Tournament, and it contained a comment from Rory indicating his lingering resentment towards Chamber Bay set up a year ago. He said, "I'm looking forward to it," he said, of next year's major at Oakmont. He goes, "Back to a nice traditional U.S. Open, not like we're playing on the moon this year." So, thought that was worth mentioning.
Once again, these guys complaining about the conditions, where they all played in the same conditions. It was hard last year, of course. But it's traditional at Oakmont, but it might be his worst nightmare or anybody's worst nightmare, the way that course is set up.
The score could be even par or over par at Oakmont.
Yeah, it's going to be just as hard.
I thought last year's Open was a debacle.
Right.
We didn't rave about it. When the event was over with, I thought it was awful coverage, awful everything.
Yeah, that's true. We didn't even the Fox had the coverage.
Right.
I think I'm excited that the U.S. Open's at Oakmont. I think the U.S. Open should be a traditional course. I think that if Chambers Bay's a spot for a PGA Championship. I think we got enough great traditional courses. The U.S. Open could almost pick 10 of them and go on a 10-year schedule,
no doubt,
including Oak Hill,
to show our country's best.
Absolutely,
I agree.
Wow, they're, it would be this probably not the setup's not there either, but if you could put it at a Pine Valley or somewhere like that as well. But you have Marion, you have Oakmont, you have Baltusrol, Congressional, even
it goes on and on. Brookline,
yes. You got a couple out west. I mean, Pebble obviously.
Of course. Yeah.
And Torrey was fine for U.S. Open.
True.
Absolutely. Pinehurst?
Yeah. No, Torrey Pines.
Yeah, and Pinehurst.
Yeah,
did we mention Pinehurst?
Yeah, no, we didn't, but Pinehurst is one, and, a couple in Chicago. There's plenty. Yeah. There's plenty to put it on and never have to worry about it. And, like you said, Oak Hill, one of the best courses in the country.
And I think for the U.S. Open, to me, too, just being in June, it's got a – the Chambers Bay just felt so foreign. There's one tree on the whole course.
Yeah,
I guess you mix it up every now and then.
Between Oak Hill or Oakmont and Chambers Bay, there's one tree on two courses.
Wait, there's only one tree on Oakmont too?
There's no trees anymore. They had trees for the year. It was at 95 when Ernie won it. There was tons of trees there, and then a couple years before the 09 Open. They went in, the members went in at night with some guys and took out all the trees over the course of like a month and made it back to its traditional way that it, when it was originally built, it was built with no trees on it. And then they planted tons of trees and they've gone back to it. So there's no trees on that course either. And it's, I've been lucky enough to play there and,
no.
Yeah, nah, I'm just putting it out there. And I played it the month before the 09 Open, and it was as hard as I've ever seen anything in my life. But just, you know, it's traditional. It's a big course. It's got a big old clubhouse, and that's where these tournaments need to be. You're right. And you know, Chambers Bay is a great course. Haven't played that one too, but it's not the it's not the same thing. It's, you know, Oakmont is like Oak Hill, a big course, you know, and like all those. And that's where they need to be. I agree.
Well, I think if they can figure out how to get Chambers Bay in great condition for June.
Yes.
Because it was a relatively new golf course. Only been open a couple of years, right?
It's like 5 years
old. I mean,
old,
you couldn't see the golf ball, all that kind of. I don't care about, you know, the ups and downs and all that. That doesn't bother me, but I couldn't see anything. And the greens look horrible with all those spots on it. So if they can make it more presentable.
Yeah, it was probably the worst place for Fox to have their first tournament coverage,
too. Yeah, because we blame Fox.
And and like you said, it's hard to follow the ball. It was their camera work was. If you had CBS there or NBC, I think that would have been much improved.
Just I don't know. I don't know. I think the venue was the problem.
I don't know.
We're gonna see Fox in June. We'll get a good test, right?
But I like that course. The greens were a disaster.
Yeah.
All right, I've been waiting to get to this topic because Tiger Woods made an appearance this morning, Monday morning, and it was covered on Morning Drive. And he was at the Quicken Loans National Media Day trying to convince them to keep the tournament at Congressional in Washington, D.C. as it benefits military families. But he hit some shots and answered some questions, and I gotta play this for you right here. It's Tiger.
Bruce Gilkey, ladies and gentlemen.
It's Tiger Woods there at hole 10.
You got something to aim at out there.
It's par 3, and the guy before him hit one on the green. Now Tiger's gonna have a shot. Okay.
Nice practice swing.
Now here he goes. Sets up to a simple shot, right? That can't be more than 150 yards. And
us in the water.
Kerplash.
Rinse.
So now he immediately wants another one, okay? Gonna hit another one. I would too. You're Tiger Woods. You're a little embarrassed, probably. Go on and give the fans something. Half shank and splash.
That's good for me. One more?
Oh, yeah. He was done. He said he was done. Now they made him hit another one.
Must not be Nike golf balls.
Now, I want you to listen to Tiger after he hits this last one in the water. Not to spoil the suspense, but this third one's wet, too. Listen.
Sleeve.
See? I need a warm-up. Ladies and gentlemen,
he needs a warm-up. See? I need a warm-up. He wasn't joking either. He was like legitimately embarrassed, I think, and you know, was making excuses. I think, look, am I the only guy that thinks Tiger's like crazy? Like that he's just like done. He's out there, and you know, you think Jason Day, even with a bad back, would step up to that tee and hit three? I mean, he Tiger Woods. I'll tell you some of the quotes. Okay, interesting quotes from a little press conference he held after. He said, talking about Jack Nicklaus, he said his major championship record is certainly still attainable, and he said got him on regular wins already. He goes, Sam's record of 82 PGA Tour wins, I'd like to get that as well. I'm number 2 on both lists. I'd like to be number 1 on both lists. And Tiger just dropped 3 on a 150 yard water hole. Like, is he delusional? Is he just talking?
Well, what's he supposed to say, though, you know?
I just think he's hiding. He doesn't want to show his competitors his good stuff yet.
That could be, too. I was thinking that, too. Maybe he's totally playing it up.
He's got the rope-a-dope going on here, okay?
But no matter what his condition is right now, until he's done, and we don't see him anymore, he's not going to ever relent that he's done.
I was just disappointed. I expected an announcement of some sort to say, I'm going to play at the Memorial. I'm going to play at the U.S. Open. I'm going to play in the Seneca Falls member guest. I don't know, something, right? But all that was a media day for that event that's coming up. Right. It's a few weeks out, right?
Yeah.
It's like 2 months out or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
He says whether it's next week or a year from now, he said. I don't know, he goes. So
it's definitely not going to be next week, right?
Well, it might be next week or a year from now, either one.
So if he made an announcement today, it would have taken away from the event, right? It would have been more all, well, it's all about him anyways, but I don't know.
I know. I don't. I really think he still doesn't know. I think in his heart of hearts, he thinks that it might be a year.
I think he thought it was going to be next week until he hit those three in the water, and then he realized it's probably not going to be until next year.
You'll see him at Jack's tournament in the U.S. Open.
You think so?
Yeah.
I would think so, too. Well, but
he was second at Oakmont last time.
You know, I think that, I don't know. Play through the injuries in golf. Like, I don't get why it's right. Like Tiger can't come back in almost a year and he's got to, you know, he's got to be 100%, or why his injuries are so bad that the guy won the U.S. Open on a broken leg. Yeah. And he's sitting here saying he didn't get to warm up before hitting those shots in the water. I think he's toast.
He's almost like a...
I think he's so far away, so
Jason
far
Bourne
away.
Returned after a heart attack and made the cut. So... I'm still pulling for Tiger, though, even though I just kind of blasted him right
definitely,
there.
Definitely, but he's a recluse now almost. He's got a lot of stuff going on in his head.
The whole media control, damage control from 2008 on has been a mess around him.
I still can't believe the great year he had in 13.
Yeah.
Won five times Player of the Year.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't that long ago.
I know. And then, like, how you could fall that fast is it's crazy.
Well, another quote that I thought was interesting from earlier this morning was he said that his long practice and training sessions are a thing of the past. He says, I used to practice 8 to 10 to 12 hours a day. That won't happen again. I used to run 5 or 6 miles a day. That won't happen again either. Things are changing. Things have to be altered. My practices are much more focused now. I have to get a lot out of it in a shorter amount of time. So not only is he, like, he hasn't played in forever, and when he has, is not played well, but he's admitting that he can't practice, you know, like he used to or would probably want to, or a player would want to if he came back. So, who knows? It's a mystery, but quite a little interesting, a little interesting shot of Tiger this morning, hitting three balls in the water at Congressional.
You know, it's interesting, too, because Phil, he's not done by any stretch of the imagination. He's playing fairly well this year. He hasn't won yet, but he's done in – all comparatively speaking, or relatively speaking, like Tiger is, but they're going two different paths to it. You know what
sure.
I mean?
Yeah.
Phil's playing, he's grinding, he's still
might pick up one or
yeah,
two. You
exactly.
Know?
And, but Tiger is just, you know,
right. not, even trying.
Not even trying. Yeah.
Phil plays 20 tournaments. He's in the hunt at least 3 or 4 times.
Right.
You're right. And Tiger hasn't been anywhere to be seen. Right.
I think Tiger is using the injuries as an excuse for not putting himself out there because he doesn't know how to operate in a world where he's not clear number one.
Sure.
And it makes shows sense. With the hitting the three, but he couldn't even handle hitting those three balls. Most guys should have made a joke about it, but sure. instead he made an excuse that he didn't warm up. You know, now if a player is going to challenge Jack Nicklaus's record, do you really think you need to warm up before hitting a 9-iron onto the green?
It's pretty amazing that he hit 3 balls in the water like that, and we had it on tape. That's like when LeBron got dunked on.
I wasn't there with a cell phone. That was from Golf Channel Morning
right.
Drive.
Right, I know. It's like LeBron got dunked on, and they burned the tapes.
That's right.
It's like, I can't believe that got out.
Well, there's nowhere to hide, and if Tiger does step onto that golf course again, he's going to put himself out there for a major embarrassment, sure. you know? Anything short of... making the cut is
the tournament he was in August last year. Where was that?
Well, the
his last tournament.
Yeah, he needed it to make the playoffs. It was not the BMW. Where was that? It
in
was
Carolina somewhere.
Was yeah, it was. It was a company name.
What, the Wyndham.
Yeah, I think it was the Wyndham.
Yeah, the Wyndham or the Quicken Loans or whatever. But he played well for the first two rounds, right? And then he tweaked his back again, and all of a sudden I'm out of it. You know.
Yeah.
But you know, he's got some game. But
I think he embarrassed himself enough last spring with the chili dips and the chunks and the shanks out in Arizona or wherever it was out in the West Coast. Yeah. I think the embarrassment part's behind him.
You said it, and you saw it. You didn't even see that second ball. He shanked that, right?
Yeah. It was a half shank, yeah.
How's a guy like that? I mean, I can't imagine how they do that. I mean, I know how I shank it, but.
He didn't warm up.
Yeah, I don't either. Maybe I should.
Well.
Maybe that's my key.
A couple other interesting things here to fill up the hour before we get out of here from the TPC at Sawgrass. And a lot of people didn't see this, but after Dustin Johnson was on the 17th green, he mishandled his ball, and it fell out of his hand and tumbled into the water around the 17th Island green. So he had two options, either retrieve the ball or incur a two-shot penalty. So enter his caddy, who is also his brother, Austin, jumped into the pond with his shoes on and came up with the ball, saved Dustin Johnson two-stroke penalty. And rule is, you know, you can't take a ball out of play unless it's deemed unplayable, you know, severely damaged. So,
well, Austin was thinking about the few dollars he was going to lose if he got that penalty too.
That's right.
He went right in there. That's cash in his pocket. He was going to lose. He didn't go get that ball, and DJ wasn't going to get it.
No, he wasn't going to win.
And also, how about Russell Knox making a 9? If Russell Knox just pars that 17th hole in the third round, instead of making a 9, he finishes tied for second. You know, so but it's and compare that to Tiger. Here's a young guy who's had some success. He won in November in a World Golf Championship event. He was right there in contention, having a great round. He made a 9, and he shrugged it off. He made jokes about it. The next day, what did he do? I think I have it down here. He called it an epic fail. And then a day later, he made a bogey and described it as a career-defining moment when he bogeyed the 17th in the fourth round.
Right. That was a three-putt. He hit the green.
Yeah. described it as a career-defining moment.
So 7 over in those two.
Save 5 shots.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, there's a guy, like I say, who has a lot more, I guess, on the line than Tiger does at this point in his career, and he shrugs it off.
I think he handled it extremely well.
I'm a big fan.
How about the hole-in-one?
Oh, yeah, and then we got to talk about Will Wilcox, probably the most exciting hole-in-one maybe I've ever seen, because that hole-in-one at 17 was the first in 6,300 attempts.
14 years, right?
14 years. It was Miguel Angel Jimenez in 2002 who did it. And it blew my mind when I heard that. Right. It's a 130-yard hole. How could there not be dozens of aces in the past 10 years? But nope, it was Will Wilcox. And
I would think the tougher pin position to get the hole-in-one.
Yeah, up in the back.
Because those two sides feed the ball to the cup a lot.
Right.
Especially the one on Thursday where it's kind of front left.
Yeah.
If you catch the ridge, it always comes back, right?
Yeah.
That one in the back middle, nothing feeds it there.
Right, no, you got to get it running up that way, and you got to hit it low so you don't, come on down on it.
Yeah,
and who was his playing partner to hit it like that?
Tringali, I think, Tringali was one of them because they mobbed each other.
Yeah, right before it. So those two shots were just amazing. It's like, wow, this guy almost jarred it, and then Wilcox steps up there and does jar it.
Right.
It's crazy.
He went nuts.
Yeah. What a memory, though. You know, I mean, if you could ever imagine like to one shot, you know, maybe you'd rather hit a putt to win a major or something, but. That with in that scene, unbelievable.
As hole in ones go, that's a hole you'd want to get one on if you ever get one in your career. You know what I mean?
Sure. Well, they show every golfer gets shown playing that hole.
Right.
I like it.
No matter what their score is, they're showing every shot.
Yeah.
It's one of the coolest things about it. Because about that course.
So you can either put it in the water or you can get a hole in one, and they want to see those. And it's great drama.
Now take a hole like three. Hole 3 or hole 12 at the Seneca Falls Country Club, for example, those are pretty small greens. That green is about three times the size of our third green.
It's a very big green.
It's big.
And they're 130 to 145 yards away, and I know it's windy, but it seems unlikely that so many balls would go in the water.
It's the depth perception. It's
when you stand up there and see that.
Yeah.
And when you're there without the crowd, it is just all you see is the flag
yep.
and the bulkhead.
Okay. Right.
So you got to go to the yardage.
Yeah.
And of course, those guys are trying to fit it in.
So it's essentially almost a blind shot.
I'm just trying to hit it on the green, yeah. Which
you're just trying to hit it straight ahead onto the green. Right. And everybody wants to hit it from the pro tees.
Sure.
Like, I mean, because it is from the blues or the whites, it's off to the left, and it's a much easier shot. And it's like 100 yards.
Yeah.
But the angle is not as intimidating because you don't have everything around you and behind you all water. If you come to the side there, you've got more land that comes in, and you're not necessarily as intimidated by standing up there looking at nothing but water and this little piece of green or big piece of green that looks a little.
Yeah, logically, it makes no sense to be that difficult.
No.
Well, it was certainly exciting to see Wilcox act. It was a great players' championship. Gave us a lot to talk about here today. Next week, it's the Byron Nelson. And then we get a little closer. The Memorial, I think, in 2 weeks. The U.S. Open in 4 weeks from now.
It's always Father's Day weekend.
Yeah.
Father's Day Sunday is the final round.
I think it'll be 4 weeks from this weekend coming up.
So I got to give you the answer to this week's Golf J trivia question. And how many major championships has Byron Nelson won? The answer is 5. 1939 U.S. Open, the 1937 and 42 Masters, and the 1940 and 45 PGA Championships. Of course, in 45, he finished with 18 victories, including 11 straight, which is pretty impressive. That 11 straight. And probably the 18 victories, too, will never be matched, right? Can we say that that's a record that will never be broken?
11 straight for sure.
I believe it won't be.
18 in 1 year? No.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys can't get to 3 in a row.
Yeah, I mean, Tiger would get to like 4 in a row and they'd start counting down. They'd think he was going to catch him, but no, he never came close because how could you? That's just crazy. Right. So when you're watching the Byron Nelson this week, I'm sure they'll remind you, but as they reminded us while we watched Sawgrass of last year's tournament with Ricky, they must have shown that over and over and over again. So, all right, guys, thanks for hanging out. We've done it. Another successful podcast. Thanks to everybody here for joining us on the GolfJ.com podcast. Connect with us online at Twitter at the GolfJ, Instagram at the _GolfJ. Search for Golf J on Facebook. And all our episodes in the best of the wide world of golf on the web can be found at golfj.com. We'll be back next Monday night at 9 o'clock. Until then, hit them long, not often. GolfJ.com.